Friends, welcome to another episode of Murray Musings. This is an exciting episode today because we're going to be talking about the Australian Open, which is starting in about 36 hours. No, it's not, because this is Saturday. It's starting about 12 hours from now. And doubly excited to be joined by Peter and our two good friends from Tennis Bagels podcast, Owen and Andre. Hi guys, how you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
Yeah,
Welcome
great to be back
back
here.
to Murray Musings HQ, guys. It's been a hot minute since we've done a crossover podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. It's always fun.
Yeah, I feel like this should be the right balance between like analysis and chaotic, because I feel like when we have the six of us, Scott, it can tilt a little too far towards chaotic, you know? But I'm
Yeah, I
super
mean,
excited for
with
this.
me, it'll be a little bit messy. Hopefully not too messy. I do know that there's players that do read our tweets, but do they listen to us? Hopefully. Maybe not.
Maybe they're
Definitely.
listening to it in the locker room and be like, yo, listen to these guys, listen to these guys, and it's like just sharing your podcast, and then everybody in the top 100 knows about you guys.
I mean, Andy knows about us, so there's that.
I'll tell you who doesn't know about us. It's Dan Evans, because I bumped into Dan at the Davis Cup and I was like, okay, shoot your shot. Why not? Gonna ask him if he would be like up for coming on the podcast. So went over and I was chatting to him and I was like, oh, I host a podcast called Money Musings, and he just looked me dead in the eye and went, I don't know what that is.
He's a bit of a grouch, isn't he? He does not seem
Just a
like great
bit.
company.
I was like, well, I know you don't, Dan. That's why I'm telling you about it. Needless to say, I didn't get an answer out of him as to whether or not he would come on the podcast. So maybe he's not a fan of Andy Murray-based podcasts. Maybe if I told him it was a Dan Evans-based podcast, he might be up for it.
Yeah,
Dan
definitely.
Evans dreamings.
Anyway, we're going off on a tangent already and we've barely even started. So I'm going to try and control the chaos and bring it back in. So the Australian Open starts tomorrow. So it's currently, we're recording at 3:30 UK time Saturday afternoon. So the Australian Open actually kicks off in about 10 hours from now. So we are going to do a bit of a quick fire preview and then try and get this up online before it actually begins. And we're going to start with the women's draw, I believe. Peter, I think
Yeah, sounds good.
you've got it up in front of you and you've got some thoughts.
Yeah, let's rock and roll. Okay. Do we want to start with the first rounds that are popcorns or what? Because I mean, there's definitely Iga versus Kenin, both major champions. And then right below that, there's Danielle Collins and Kerber, and Danielle has done well. So the second round is going to be tasty right off the bat for them.
I like the look of Iga and Kenin, because Kenin got a wild card last year, didn't she? And she did pretty well, if I remember correctly. Or am I thinking of a different tournament? But didn't Kenin have a bit of a sort of resurgence in one tournament that she got a wild card? So am I making that up completely?
To be honest, I don't follow Kenin that much. So that was a long time ago. I might have like slept in for that match.
Okay, well, I mean, I think it's going to be a good match, but I still think Iga's going to win that. I don't think
Oh yeah.
he's
Yeah.
going to have I
A
don't think
lot
that
of
wild card
Iganators
night.
and whatnot, they were despairing with the draw that she has. And I do believe she has the toughest draw as, you know, one of the top seeds, the top seed, excuse me. But I think she'll be fine. I hope she'll be fine.
Do you think she gets past Ostapenko if they play again?
I would hope so. Ostapenko is playing well. I mean, she just won, you know, a title, so there's that. But
I did a live yesterday, And I said no to that question. I said
Really?
that, yeah, I said Ostapenko reaches the semis. So I
Yeah,
think that's, yeah.
I just heard one of her after match pressers and she or on court, excuse me, interviews, and she said that she took down as much of her accuracy and consistency as possible, and she just power played it. She was like, you know, I didn't, you know, play it, you know, the way that I should, and the way that she obviously won the French Open. So, I mean, she's a power hitter. She's not known for her accuracy. So, there's that.
That's true. This is getting a little more general, but I think Iga is sort of in the position where I could see her losing to a couple of players, but those same players might not make it to her. Like I think if Rybakina gets to her in the semis, I think Rybakina wins. But then you look at the draw, and Rybakina has Karolina Pliskova in the first round,
Yep.
who she could very well lose to, I think. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
And just to answer a question too about Sophia Kenin, I'm looking at Tennis Abstract here. And last year, she as a wild card, she entered San Diego and reached the semifinals. And then the week after, she reached the quarterfinals in Guadalajara. So those are the two tournaments that she did well last year.
So I couldn't remember when it was. I knew that she'd had some sort of, like, she'd got a wild card and had quite a good run. So that must be what I'm thinking of. Although I could not have told you if my life depends on it, what the tournaments were. So
Yeah, if my life determined on it and gun to my head, I'd be like, I don't know.
Wimbledon.
Yeah. Empty thoughts, no brain cells for that player.
I feel like, yeah, no, go ahead. That's okay. We'll keep
I
moving.
was just about to say, do we want to move on from that matchup to Danielle Collins and Kerber?
Yes, I also think that's actually probably going to be a more interesting match. I do fear that, like, this Kenin and Swiatek is going to be a little bit more hype than action. So,
Exactly.
Kerber and Collins, I feel like I'd sit for that one if I were at the stadium on that day. So,
Yeah, that's definitely a popcorn match, and Danielle can yell out and, you know, basically cheer her way to the second round, and then Iga will take care of her. I think, in my personal opinion, I don't see the Danielle Collins of 2024 beating Iga.
no,
Yeah,
not really.
I
It's a
agree.
shame. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it's pretty crazy though that that matchup that was a semi-final at the Australian Open in 2022, now if it happens, is going to be in the second round only 2 years later. That's
Yeah.
pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was just about to say, what year was it? And I'm like, I'm just gonna say 2024, Danielle, because I don't see it.
Okay, was that only 2 years ago?
That was when Barty
Oh,
won.
yeah.
yeah, that's right. Cause she Danielle got to the, cause I knew that she'd lost in the final, and I didn't realize that was the same. She'd beat Iga in the semi-final. Yeah, it's crazy how much can change so quickly, in just 2 years. And now, like you say, it's kind of reminded me a little bit of the US Open a couple of years ago when it was Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys in round one. And that had been the final from 2017. So, not that many years between it as well. It's amazing how quickly things can change. But I agree, Peter. I think that Danielle will beat Kerber, and then
Okay.
Iga will beat Danielle. Good into round three.
So in that case, everyone, like, if we think Iga is gonna get past kind of these tricky opening two rounds, who do you think is the first player she could realistically lose to?
Ostapenko.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody before that. I feel like she's too strong, honestly. Like, those are tricky matches, like, in my opinion, but I feel like Swiatek is just too strong right now.
I am interested to see how Svitolina will get on in our first couple of matches, because I think she could give Iga a game. I think that could be quite an interesting matchup if it comes to it. Whether or not she could beat her, I'm not sure.
Beat her
I
at
think
Wimbledon.
I think Ostapenko could beat her though. I agree with Andrew on that one for sure.
I mean, the head-to-head is 4-0. So, I mean, at this point, I feel like Swiatek is just playing like, I can beat everybody except for Ostapenko. I just practice so that I can beat her, and that's it. I don't know how to beat everybody except for this girl.
Yeah. I mean, I have Alina for the round of 16, but I don't know. Like before when we did our last episode, Claire, I think the predictions were like, Iga might win a major. And for some reason, I just was not feeling it for her. And more of it was heart instead of head. But I think Iga's got it the way she double bageled with help from Hubie in the United Cup. I just think that Iga's got it this year.
You think she's gonna win it? Like she's gonna win the whole thing?
Well, I think she's got it. Do I think that she's going to take it? If we want to go down that road, I think Sabalenka will win the title. Mainly because she's just mad that she lost the final at the US Open. And she said in Breakpoint that she was so happy that her surname, her father's name, excuse me, was on the trophy. So, I mean, I just think that Sabalenka will say, "Hey, I want another title, defending champion." She's hungry for it.
I agree with that. Okay, so we did take a bit of a jump there. We've ended up predicting our winner. And we get any more matches in particular that we're looking forward to in the first round? I am looking forward to, of course, seeing Emma Raducanu play Shelby Rogers.
Yeah.
That's a US Open 2021 repeat. Now I can't remember exactly what round that was that they played each other. It certainly wasn't round one. I'm interested to see this time if how Emma plays it, if Shelby's obviously got a better read on her game, Emma coming back from injury. I think that's got the potential to be quite a good match.
Yeah, I read an article about Emma about I think it was written by Eleanor Crooks of I think for the Independent.
Guardian,
I can't remember the website. Sorry.
is it the Guardian she writes for?
I don't think so. I'll find it later. But she in the interview, Emma seemed I don't know, she seemed like the break from tennis had done her a lot of good. And so I think if she is relaxed, I could definitely see her making through a couple of rounds because when, I mean, we've seen what she did at the US Open in 2021 when she was relaxed, and not really under a ton of pressure, and that was pretty amazing. So I think, if the game is still there, like if that hasn't fallen off a cliff and she's kind of dealing with less pressure, then I could see her getting through a couple of rounds. I don't like I definitely wouldn't say title contender, but let me see who's in her section.
Osaka is close to her a
I
little
was
bit,
yeah,
right? Oh no,
I
I
was
think they're on
literally just looking
opposite
at
sides.
this. I'm trying to see who she could get in the second round.
Banger, Sorana Cristea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that feels winnable, I would say.
Yeah.
I think that
And then hopefully she'll face Katie Bolter.
Oh
That's
yeah.
who I have.
I think if
Oh,
this match was like
That's a nice hypothetical one to think about there. Emma versus Katie. Who do you think would win that?
I prefer Emma. Head says Katie, to be honest with you, because of the way she played against even the men at the United Cup, and with Emma having, two wrists and a leg out for so long. But I mean, she's Emma. She went from qualifying to US Open champ. So, I mean, shrug like listeners, I'm doing the shrug emoji. So I have no idea. Like I was terrified to do the women's draw this year because everyone was complaining, ranting, raving, screaming, crying, throwing up about like everything. And I was like, what are y'all talking about? Like, Iga's draw is fine. Sabalenka will make it to the final. Like, we're all fine. Like, just chill the F out. But I like even the third rounds for like a lot of people, I'm like, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
I would favor Katie against Emma as well. I think the way she beat Pagula at the United Cup, I think was so
Exactly.
impressive. Like Pagula is a top player. Was she down a double break in the third set?
I believe so.
Yeah, so I think there's a huge difference in momentum there with her and Emma. Even if Emma maybe has a higher ceiling, I think Bolter having that result so recently will probably like make a difference in how far they get.
Watching that match was amazing, and I was a little tired and bleary-eyed, but it was just so amazing to see Katie play so well. Like, her strategy, her forehand was on fire. Like, she knew how to take care of JPEG Pegula, and I just was astounded by the work I'm sure she put in the off season.
Sorry, I'm just having like I'm just I'm like doom scrolling almost through the draw right now. I'm listening to you and I agree. I think if it gets to Emma and Katie, I think Katie would win it. But I'm scrolling a little bit further down. I'm looking. She's obviously one of my faves now after seeing her at Wimbledon and seeing how much she waxes lyrical over her love for Andy Murray, and that is of course Iga Andreeva. What's not to love? If she wins in round one, she could potentially meet Ons Jabeur in round two, which I think would be an amazing match, Ons and Mira, to see. And I would be absolutely torn over who to support on those ones where like, can they just both win? Can they both win, please?
It's like, I'm just hoping both teams have fun. So I don't know. Like, the bottom half of my draw was just messy. So, I mean, Paula Badosa and Taylor Townsend, that's going to be a fun match for me because I want to see how Paula is. But I want Taylor to win because she's just so great. She's great in doubles. She just won her third, doubles title defending her title. I'm sorry, where was it? Was it Hobart?
Brisbane? Is it Brisbane?
Oh, Bris oh, excuse me, Brisbane. I don't know why I said
I don't
Hobart.
know. Yeah. I think Hobart is happening or just happened this week, right? So
Yeah, I'm sorry, listeners. I'm really tired. I was up watching Jack Draper and Laheka just play it out in Adelaide. So I just have no thoughts, empty brain right now. I'm like, it was a city in Australia. I'll tell you all that much.
I could totally see Townsend beating Badosa though. Like serve and volleyers are not easy to play, and I think especially if you're kind of coming back from some time off, they're not going to give you any rhythm either. So I could see Townsend just sort of coming in denying Badosa any rhythm, like pulling off another win like the one over Halep at the U.S. Open a few years ago. That's a tough first round for sure.
Yeah, her
That
slice
one,
is gonna
yeah.
do well, do
I think
damage.
it's super tough when you're coming back like to deal with serve. I feel like returning is such a tough game to like get back to your best. And I feel like a serve and volley would just eat you alive just because you're just gonna get so many floaties. It's just gonna miss a lot of returns. I feel like that's what beat Osaka against Pliskova was just because she couldn't get her racket properly and on time, like on the return against Pliskova. She could serve well and she got into rallies and was okay, but like when it was just on the return, I remember this like game where Osaka had a few break points, and every time on that, Pliskova would serve to the exact same spot, and Osaka didn't do any adjustment. So it was like, I was just thinking to my head, like, man, it must be really hard to just like pick up on these things, like when you've been so long away from the game. And obviously, like on my privileged position, just like no pressure, nothing happening, just like watching like from a bird's eye view. But still, And yeah, and it just feels like there's so many people, so many players coming back this year, like at the Australian Open. Just like the draw is like flooded with people who are just like, I don't know. They were very good at some point. They could be still be very good. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Speaking of Naomi, she's got Caroline Garcia in the first round. That's brutal. If she can get through that, rounds two and three might be easier. But how are we feeling about Osaka's chances? You know, she's won this tournament twice. Is she a contender? Is like can she win? Because I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating her. I feel like it's a little too soon in the comeback. So I don't really put her in that title contender group. But I could still see her taking out someone who is in that group, maybe.
I agree. I don't think she's going to win. I can't see it going that far. But I could see her getting through maybe through round three, maybe even the fourth round at a push. But yeah, she's not going to win it, but I do think she's going to do. I think she'll beat Garcia. I can't see her going out immediately. And I think she's going to sort of start to kind of stamp that I'm back and I'm ready to play again message. That she's going to send a message out there, I think, that she's not here to, she's not going to fuck around, if you'll excuse my French.
I have her getting beat in the round of 16 by Coco. The thing is, like, she's, won it twice, so she can win it again. This year, I don't see it. I'm not gonna bet on it, so.
The only thing for me is that one, it's not a concern to me, or I think it wouldn't be to her to win it right away. I think she's like what, 26 years old, so she's still young. Like it's not like she's like, oh, I'm 32 and I just had my first time. I'm just kind of like just going on
Oh
my
my God, I
farewell
can't believe you
tour type
just
of thing.
compared to 32 as being old.
Well, for a tennis player, I will be 32 this year, so
Andre, you're old, man.
I am old. It took me 3 days to recover from a cold this weekend, so this is how bad it is right now.
Weren't you
And
like 27 like last year? I feel
I
like
know, right?
you're like late mid 20s in my head.
I just warped through the pandemic. But yeah, in terms of like Osaka and her Australian Open chances of winning, I think that nobody should be putting her on title contendant right now. If she gets to round four, I think then we can talk again about this. But like at that moment, like right now, she's like, I don't even know how well she's gonna like adjust to the conditions. Like if she starts playing well, beats Garcia and like gets like two or three matches under her belt, like really starts feeling it, who knows? But like chances are it may not happen right now, but if it does start happening, I could see it. But I would just, for players like Osaka right now, just I know that she's got a game. I know that she's physically still very capable. So I'll just take one step at a time, like one round at a time, and then we'll see.
So Andre, I completely agree with you, but I'm sort of gonna say the opposite as well, which is like I think if she does make round four, I might favor her to beat Coco. Like I know Coco beat her at this tournament when she was 15 or 16. But I do think that was a very different time. Osaka was under a lot of pressure. And so I like when I think about that matchup, I just think of that difference in the forehand is crazy. Osaka's forehand is so much more powerful. And so I feel like if she's in form, I would give her a pretty good chance to sort of just break down Coco's
Yeah,
forehand and overpower
that's what I'm
her.
saying. If Osaka gets there, then like I think we should look at this again. But like right now, as it stands, Osaka wouldn't beat Coco. In my opinion, like the way that I saw her play her last match, I think Coco is better right now.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like we never know how much work a lot of people have done in the off season. And so we just do some predictions and just, whatever sticks. But if she does do damage, early on, I mean, who knows if she's going to beat Coco, who, just won her first major. So.
And speaking of Coco, I kind of have it in my head of like there are these title contenders, you know, like Coco just won the US Open and just won Auckland too. So she would be a title contender. Ego would be a title contender. Like,
Yep.
who do we put in that tier one on the WTA right now?
I would put Elena Rybakina. I mean, Iga, of course, Sabalenka. Again, I don't know about Naomi. Who else going through the draw? I really heart would be like, let's just put Emma up there, but no. Well, let's not be silly. Tier two would be Ostapenko. I'm sorry to say it, but she's only won one major, and that was a while ago. But other than that, I don't see it for a lot of others.
Yeah, I think tier one is basically top four.
Yeah.
I'd like Coco to have a good run. I can't see her winning it. I can't see her doing the back-to-back majors. But I think she'll maybe. I've not done my bracket yet, so I'm just I'm I've I, so I've not like properly laid out the matches, but. Maybe quarter semi-finals for Coco.
Yep, I have her in the semis.
Yeah, which I think she would probably be pretty satisfied with. Maybe not delighted, but I think she'd be satisfied with first major of the year off the back of winning the US Open. There's going to be pressure on her, as there always is, when it's the first major of the year and you won a major the year before. So she'll feel pressure. So I think she would feel satisfied with making it to the semi-finals.
Does Sabalenka get her revenge in the semis? Is that who you think she loses to?
Well, I mean, I think Sabalenka's taken the whole thing. So then, if that's who she's due to meet in the semi-finals, then yes,
Yep.
she's taking no
Same.
prisoners. She's going for it. Okay, any other matches in the first round that we want to highlight for the women's?
I mean, there is Linda Fred. I am so sorry.
Kvitova?
Oh yeah, I'm not even gonna take
Kvitova,
that.
versus Haddad Maia. I saw Linda at the at Cincy, excuse me, and she beat Petra really well. She's young, hungry. Haddad, she's got tools. So, who knows what's going to happen with her? She could get Sarah Cerebus-Tormo in the second round.
That's as far
So,
as she'll go.
exactly. Yep. I'm sure you're a little biased for SST,
Just.
but I mean, also Magda Linette and Caro Wozniacki right up there. So,
Spot that one.
say that again. Oh, excuse me.
I didn't even spot that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would really like to see Maria Sakkari do well. I mean, I've stopped doing it now. Like, I used to put all my eggs into Maria's basket whenever I was doing my brackets. I was like, I'm depending on Maria. She's going to do this for me. She's going to come through. She's going to win. And then inevitably, she'd go out in like round one or round two. But like, I'm impressed that she's still holding on to that number eight seed. And so I'm kind of maybe 2024 is going to be.
Her year.
Maybe it was going to be a good year for Maria.
Yeah.
Her draw looks great. Like I
Yeah.
it seems like it'd be hard for her to lose in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
And I think even in that section, I feel like she could come out of that pretty comfortably if
Yeah.
she
Yeah,
wins.
absolutely so.
Yeah, her draw is good. I have her in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And for her breakpoint episode, she was like, so the production interviewer said, "What do you say to the haters?" And she said, "Yeah, fuck them all. I don't give a fuck." And there were tons of tweets that were just popping out, and just the way it was produced was magical to me because she won Guadalajara at the end of last year. And They featured that, and I was glad that Netflix was like, okay, let's do a episode on JPEG and Maria and how they were against each other at the City Open. And it was so great to see Maria saying, hey, you know, I'm going through these problems, and seeing a sports psychologist. So I think that she can go to the quarterfinals. I just see that for her. I hope that for her.
Yeah.
Next toast. Okay, so right, who are we seeing as the four semi-finalists?
Rybakina, Ostapenko, Sabalenka, Gauff.
Oh, so you're not having Iga in it at all.
No,
Okay.
I think that's what I said. I gotta stay consistent because, like, just yesterday night, I said that this was gonna happen, so I can't change my mind. Like, not even 12 hours later.
I
But
mean, you can after her title win and everything. It's like, did she look great? Yeah. Was it against Kasatkina, who had two walkovers, correct? So, I
yeah,
mean,
I mean, it's like
he
a
wasn't
Russian.
match fit enough to defeat her. I'm kidding.
It's like
Excuse me.
playing Russian roulette with that one. But
Yeah.
like,
I'm
if
just being
one, yeah,
messy. And
that's
I
fine.
think that Ostapenko can get to the semis. Will she, in my mind? No. In my heart, she's not getting to the
I thought you were saying like in your head and in your heart, she's not getting into the semis.
semis. I still have battle scars from 2017, so there's that.
I feel like with Iga, I have such a tough time making a pick because she is the best player in the world, absolutely. The way she finished last year was amazing, but I don't like her chances to beat Ostapenko. And if
Okay.
Ostapenko doesn't make it there, I don't like Iga's chances to beat Rybakina either. Like I think their match history is rough for Iga. And our friend Vaunch pointed out that in Indian Wells, Iga had a rib issue, and in Rome, she was ahead before she got hurt. But still, like if you go into a match with Rybakina and your history is last match was way ahead on clay, got reeled in and had to retire, got crushed at Indian Wells, and then got straight setted at the Australian Open before that, that's really tough, I think, to be confident against. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think she can win, but I haven't. And the end of last year was really amazing, but I didn't see enough against players like Ostapenko and Rybakina. Like had she beaten them convincingly towards the end of the year, I might be singing a different tune. But since she didn't, I think one of them takes her out. Probably Rybakina. I don't think Ostapenko. I think Ostapenko loses to someone else.
Yeah, like Rybakina as the runner-up should be in the conversation, and for me, it's more heart for the semifinalists than the head. And as I said earlier, like no brain cells, just all heart. Like I'm just going with vibes. That's how I was feeling it, and that's what I said in a few group chats. I'm like, I'm just going with vibes, and then later on. With some of my friends, I'm like, okay, Luka Van Asch is going to win this. So and so is going to win this. Some of the girls are going to go farther than I would hope. So who knows? Who knows?
Shouldn't make a
Again, we're
draw.
just spitballing here.
I should make two draws, like one head and one vibes, and just see who wins at the end. And like that'll be my sample. Like if head loses cr horribly, then just like okay, it's just vibes from now on forever.
I can't possibly make a confident pick. I think Rybakina has a great chance of winning, like you said, Peter. But then I kind of think she's more of a front runner than a fighter, and I don't want to sound too critical. Like she's when she gets in front, it is so hard to beat her. The fact that Sabalenka did that in the final last year is amazing, but like in deciding sets, like she can lose at 6-1, like she did to Jabeur at Wimbledon. So I feel like that could happen. And so like I guess I think Sabalenka is gonna win, but I have no confidence in that pick. I guess I just think if the draw falls apart, Iga's gonna win, and if it doesn't, then Sabalenka's gonna win.
Yeah, speaking of vibes, the way she was just dancing with her team a couple of days ago, I was like, she's happy, she's carefree, like she's gonna be fine. She's the defending champion. I was like, let me just pick her. Like, all vibes. No thoughts.
I struggle to, yeah, I think I'm going to have to bring up Coco and Sabalenka as one semi final. Rybakina definitely. But I don't know if she's going to be playing. I can't quite decide yet if it'll be Iga or Ostapenko she'll be playing. So, but I think my final is going to be Rybakina and Sabalenka, with Sabalenka
Okay.
to win.
Do it all over again.
Rematch.
Yep. One more go in the merry-go-round. For the start of the year, why not?
My final picks were I think Rybakina and Coco at the final,
Oh,
and
wow.
Rybakina for the win in that one.
Okay.
But I think I did like a two thing. Like what I said is if Świątek makes it there and reaches the final, I still have the same other semifinalists. I think Coco reaches the finalist like regardless. And if is Świątek Coco in the final, I pick Świątek to win the title.
Coco could absolutely win this again, I think. Like you said, Andre, the main knock on her is that she can't really beat Iga, and she may not have to play Iga because it could only happen in the final, right? So I mean no one backs up the major the first time like Osaka did, but
I was just about to say, Naomi can. I mean, will she take the title again? I guess we all just don't see it. But I mean, I would love Coco to take it. Will she? Again, betting odds, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But that's just me being safe.
yeah, I don't know. I almost like her.
Think if Coco was on the other side of the draw, I would be more confident about her making it to the final. But the fact that she will need to come up against Sabalenka in the semi-final, should both of them get to that point, I can't see Sabalenka losing to her again. But I think if the draw was maybe more in Coco's favour in that she'd been on the other side, I think she probably could have made it to the final. But I mean, I could be totally wrong because I mean my let's face it, my analysis isn't exactly known as being tip top, so
I mean, I think you're just an optimistic person in general. So,
oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, you are Slytherin, but I mean, still.
Wait, so did we all pick Sabalenka to win?
No,
Yeah.
I did. Mine is Rybakina.
Oh yeah,
I picked
I
Rybakina.
was ignoring that. Excuse me. Yes. Yes.
Okay, you know what?
I would love it if the final was a rematch and then Rybakina won this time. Just to keep it like that rivalry right there, I feel like it could be really iconic.
Yeah.
I might regret this. I think I'm going to change my pick to Coco. I think I could see Sabalenka collapsing against her again. And then in the final, if it's not Iga, I think she wins that too. So, but then,
Right.
wait, but then there's Osaka. Oh
There's
man, sorry.
Osaka. I wouldn't be picking her to go far though.
I'm sticking with it. Coco wins a second straight major.
Wow.
Okay.
We get two for Sabalenka, one for Coco, and one for Rybakina. That's a pretty good bag, I would say.
Yeah.
Surely, out of the four of us, with three different picks, one of us will be right. Surely.
I don't know. I none of us picked Iga. I think we'll probably get some hate for that.
Right, okay, well, that's the women's draw. Done.
Last
Done.
question. Do you guys think Iga wins the Australian Open before she wins Wimbledon?
Hundred percent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's not as good on grass as she is on a hard court. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I said in our last episode, I think Iga's going to win the French Open again this
Yep.
year, and I think Coco's going to win Wimbledon.
I would so love it if like Iga actually like matches Rafa Nadal's record on at Roland Garros, like 14
Oof.
titles. That would be
Imagine if she
incredible.
did.
If it's
I
like
mean, she technically could do it. I mean, she's young enough that she could do it. So why not?
yeah, she's only like 11 titles short, right? So
Yeah,
why
that's
not?
all. That's what I mean. Like, is how old is he? Yeah, she's what, 22?
22 or 3?
So, you never know. Okay, well, we'll come back to this episode in 11 years' time, Andre, and we'll see.
We'll see where she's at.
But I do want to say one more thing about Iga, and I realize I've like contradicted myself a bunch. Even though I don't feel confident enough to pick her, I think it is possible that she found something at the end of last year and is now just better than everyone else again. So maybe she beats Ostapenko and Rybakina as well. Like that's possible. I don't think it'll happen, but I think, it could, and like maybe she has figured that out. And if she doesn't have to play them, then she would be my favorite. But I think most likely she loses to one of those two.
No, she's beating Ostapenko.
0-4. That's tough.
Something I'm like,
I
I
mean,
it. I'm like,
she's
oh,
figured
don't
her out. She
do
knows her game plan. So, I mean, has Ostapenko gone a little bit better? And has she retooled her game? Possibly. But she's figured her out. Sure, let's go with that. Let's be messy. Let's pretend the head-to-head like doesn't favor Yelena. So I mean, let's be delusional.
vibes.
It's all on vibes. No thoughts. I was like, is the head-to-head that much like worse?
Not a serious
And I'm sorry, say that again.
Not a serious podcast. We can delusion.
I think we're losing you a bit, Claire. You're a little quiet.
Maybe I'm too far away from my microphone.
Yeah, you were. Maybe.
Sorry, I was leaning back, just going with the vibes, Peter.
Yep. All vibes. Head to head, be damned.
Yeah, the Ostapenko's fit is not as iconic this year, so I don't really give
I mean, iconic or better and less ugly.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just wanted to clarify what we were talking about here.
Peter,
Peter,
her fit
if we're
actually looks normal this year.
Yes. Peter,
Okay,
what?
moving on. That's enough. That's enough of the women's draw. Let's not get drawn into Ostapenko's outfit disasters from 2023, because it's not been her fault. Someone made her wear those dresses. So, I feel sorry for Yelena for being dressed like that. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, on to the men. Can we start with what's obviously going to be the most important men's match, please?
Was
Andy
Dominique
Murray and
Tomlin again?
Echeverry?
Yeah. The
I
most
mean,
important of all of them. The future Australian Open champion.
the thing
Andy Murray.
is, yes, they've got a head-to-head of 1-1. I saw the match in Indian Wells where Andy beat Thomas, but I also was barely looking at the laptop when Thomas beat Andy in Basel. And of course they were both three sets. Go figures. Andy last year. It's bound to happen this year that it's going to be four or five sets. So what are we thinking, team?
Definitely five sets.
Okay.
I think it is going to be five sets, because let's face it, it's Andy, it's round one. Why would he not want to play for 5.5 hours? I mean, and Owen has got lived experience of how I react during a five set match during the first round of the Australian Open. Because from his vantage point last year, he could see me with my head in my hands, with a Scottish flag draped over me, to try and like block it all out when we were at the point where Andy looked like he was going to lose to Berrettini in the fifth set.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's obviously going to do that again
Yeah.
this year.
I will say though, having seen that in person, and yes, Claire, you and I watched him beat Matteo Berrettini in a fifth set in person from a match point down after Berrettini missed maybe the worst backhand of all time. And then he did it again against Kokkinakis in an even crazier match. This is my just vibes moment. I am a believer now. Not only is he going to beat Echeverry, he's going to beat Monfils in the next round because he's too smart,
Equally
and
yeah,
he will
five.
get to that third rounder with Djokovic.
And he's going to beat that guy, right?
I think the most,
I'm not quite
yeah.
with you there.
I think the most iconic thing for any Mario to do would be like beat Echeverry in five, beat Monfils in five, take Djokovic to five. Regardless of win or lose, that would be like the most Andy Murray thing to do, and I'd be all over it.
Yeah, I mean, Novak only has like what, seven, eight Australian Open titles? What's the number here?
Nine, I think.
Nine?
Ten?
Oh, okay. I was just
Ten?
downgrading. I believe it's 10, right?
Yeah,
So
it's ten.
there's
Sorry, I
that.
know about
It's
that.
10, I guess. I don't remember three of them. So, yeah.
Awesome. Didn't he beat Andy four times in
Yeah,
the title?
Well,
It's
it's
rough.
rough.
The 2012 one, but four
Oh, yeah.
times? Yeah, excuse me. Again, I don't remember. I was tired. Yep. Yeah.
Maybe therefore they never happened. So does that mean technically we've only got six?
So Roger has more titles at Australian Open than Djokovic.
Oh, okay, let's not get
So,
that can of
can we take a moment to talk on this podcast about Scott consistently baiting Nick Kyrgios to quote tweet him? Like, Scott, is it okay with you all if I read Scott's tweet?
Oh
Please.
yeah. We were gonna get
It's
into it.
public. It's in the
Okay.
public. So.
Yep.
So Scott posts a photo of Kokkinakis and Kyrgios lifting the
Oh no.
Australian Open doubles trophy. Crops Kyrgios out of the photo and tweets, whatever else Tanasi Kokkinakis does or doesn't go on to achieve in his career, he'll always have that time that he became the first player ever to win a major doubles title on his own, trophy emoji. And of course, he baits Nick Kyrgios into quote tweeting him and calling him a slug or something. This is
Not only did he
phenomenal
quote
bait.
tweet him, he replied to him, and that
Okay.
wasn't enough. Then he quote tweeted him.
I have him blocked, so I missed the reply.
Beauty of this whole thing is because that's obviously like this has been going on since now. I can't quite remember how it started, but Scott had obviously tweeted and tagged Kyrgios in the tweet. I can't remember what exactly it was about, but ever since then it's just spiraled. And now even when Scott doesn't tag Kyrgios, even if the tweet's got nothing to do with him, he still responds to him. So I am absolutely convinced at this point that Kyrgios is obsessed with Scott and he's got notifications for when Scott tweets.
Yep.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like you know when a player loses to someone else repeatedly and it's like that player is in their head. Scott Barkley is in Nick Kyrgios's head.
Rent free.
Wales. I mean, I'm not a fan of Kyrgios, right? But I kind of want to pull up the sides and just be like, Nick, mate, he's
Let it
not worth
go.
it. He's not worth it. He's just some big-haired guy from Edinburgh. He is not worth it.
Yep.
And the craziest part about this is like, how many times has Kyrgios talked about how successful he is, that he has a Grand Slam final in singles, a Grand Slam doubles title, like how much money that he's won, how many people, like, whatever list of arguments that he's had that he always makes. And it always comes back to that no matter what happens. It's unbelievable. It's definitely a saga on Twitter right now.
Scott's just managed to like burrow under his skin. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, and it's like, even if all that stuff Kirio says is true, like I can fill a stadium, whatever, like if you're replying to Scott on Twitter, you have already lost.
Yeah. And Scott's like,
this Twitter troll is in your head, man. Oh my
and
God.
it's like on his desk on what's it called, like whatever Living Earth thing, and just like just tweeting from his phone. And the Curious is like in his mentions is like, oh my gosh, or whatever. Can you imagine that
Scott
scene?
literally—he's literally shitposting. Like he's not even giving it that much thought. He's
Yeah, no,
doing,
exactly.
and
Yeah.
then he's like, "Oh, Nick doesn't like this. Apparently, called me a slug." I mean, also, like, what was that all about? Calling him a slug?
I
What kind of
don't
insult?
know.
Somebody
I
explained that
mean,
to us, right?
apparently that's one of the things that they do down in Australia, and so I don't get it. Not to clout chase, but just to be messy and funny on Twitter. Well, I think that I was very funny. I wanted to get in on the conversation like I usually do with these things. So I just changed one letter, and so I was like, did Nick Kyrgios just call you a slur and not a slug? And so I was like, I'm just so funny. And so I was like, Nick is again in his head, rent free. And Sky is in his head, rent free, excuse me. And I don't get it, but it's hilarious. And Scott loves to bait Nick. And we all see the emojis in our group chats of how he's just holding up a little fish and he's like, nibble, nibble. And Nick always gets the little worm.
He bites every time. He
Yeah.
bites.
You two just touched on it. Like, I think the most amazing thing about this is like Nick thinks about this more than Scott. Like, Scott does not care. So, like, you know that Scott is like, he gets a reply, he quote tweets it, laughs, and then probably goes plays tennis or something. And Nick is probably fuming for like the next 15 minutes because this Twitter guy with the Andy Murray podcast has like gotten the best of him again. It's insane.
I mean,
Make you laugh as if someone, like, imagine you could be a fly on the wall and you see Kirio's bumping into Andy at the Australian Open. He's like, keep your fucking podcast people under control.
that's what I'm worried about. I'm like, is this going to have an adverse effect on our podcast and for Andy to come on? And I'm like, maybe,
Do wonder if.
maybe.
And he's just
I think
like
the
looking
spot
at it,
was
is like, what is happening? And just like looks at the tweets and starts laughing. It's like, I like this.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think Andy would find it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely hilarious. I still can't quite believe that it happens so regularly, and it's not just curious. Like he somehow he managed to piss off Casper Ruud. Oh, like the nicest guy on tour.
Yeah, I don't understand, but Scott has like this vendetta against Casper Ruud, and I think he's wrong about this. And also Scott said, by the way, we had a bet on this. He didn't think Alcaraz would win a major before the end of 2023. And we
That's
made the bet
right.
in 2022,
Yep.
and I said, I think he could win one this year, but he'll definitely win one next year, and he did. But anyway, point is Scott tends to be wrong about this kind of thing. But he just thinks Ruud is not a good player or a fun to watch, and he's very upfront about that. I don't understand.
I understand it because I think there is tension between Scott and Casper. I think that Casper is such a beautiful person with his hair and everything. Scott is jealous of his hair. Scott is jealous of many things with Casper. The thing about Casper is he's been to three major finals. Has Scott? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like when Casper replies to Scott, he's not kind of fuming at him like Nick is. I feel like he's probably like, oh, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, we went off the rails. Can we go back to the draw and just go from all of the men who will not beat Novak and just go. Maybe Alex de Minaur can get to
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
what?
Get a minute to process Batman's name.
I'm kidding.
Talked about
I'm
earlier.
kidding.
But we did have a quest from Scott, didn't we? To quote him in this podcast, and I'm just scrolling back. Ah, yes. Scott has asked, can someone quote me on the podcast that I predict Novak to lose to Andy in the third round?
Yeah.
Please, Andy. So there you go. That's Scott, who is the biggest Novak Djokovic fan on the planet, has predicted that Novak will lose to Andy. And actually, probably means that it's just jinxed.
Yeah, hopefully.
And oh, you think it'll jinx Novak?
Oh, Jinx Novak. Yeah. I mean, I've got my prayer circle out. I have candles at my desk. So I'm not saying that Novak is going to lose in the final or before that, hopefully the third round. But we talked about this in the group chat when Sinner had to face him twice in one day. I woke up and I wrote y'all saying that I had dreamt F you to Novak. And I'm like, how did I dream just such a thing of saying, yeah, I just like was sitting at a table and said, Novak, fuck you. And I didn't want to reveal this on the podcast, but let's talk about it. Like, I mean, I just imagined it, manifested it. Saying, hey, Novak, you're going to lose, so F you. There is deep scars. The scar tissue is real at the Australian Open. And again, I don't remember how many titles he's won there, and I don't care because Andy's going to win the third round and then smooth sailing on through.
Can I say a maybe Cole's take about Djokovic and the straw? Unless his wrist is a total mess, Alcaraz is the only guy in the straw with a hope of beating him. Sinner's still got to learn how to do it in best of five. Sinner has still got to learn how to beat other people in best of five because he had a rough year at the majors in 2023. And no one else has a chance. I guess I'll say as a fan, I really hope that Alcaraz makes it to that final, and I hope that Sinner makes it to the semi with Djokovic, because I think otherwise it's going to be a pretty boring tournament in terms of suspense over who's going to win.
I
I was
would say
thinking.
boring as well because the thing is with Novak, there it's just a snooze fest for me. I mean, collectively, we can all say it's a snooze fest when somebody just dominates and they're not your favorite. So, shrug
I tend
emoji.
to not even, and it's not, I tend to not watch the early rounds that Djokovic is playing on. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to watch Djokovic, because, I'm not like Scott, but you do know that I like Djokovic. But I just know that he's going to win, and it's usually going to be quite clinical and straightforward, and it'll be like 6-1, 6-2, 6-love. Nothing truly exciting. It's you need something to I need someone to compete against him. Need competition, need excitement. And I think it's going to be Alcaraz and Sinner that do that.
I think the script, they always follow the script like perfectly. It's like I check. It's been a while that I haven't really checked like early rounds for the big three, even the big, not necessarily so much anymore because it's always fun, but because they know like it's they know they're gonna beat like the first few guys like 6-1, 6-1, 6-2, and Djokovic occasionally gonna look like in the second round is gonna be like, oh, he lost the second set. Let's see what happens from here. Oh, he won a 6-1. Good. It's everything's back to normal. It's you know that it's gonna happen at some point. So
Yeah,
it's like
it's like good for
even
him.
when yeah, even when he loses a set, it doesn't matter. It's like it doesn't change anything. It's like the most inconsequential set loss ever in the history. And I was guess in terms of Alcaraz as well, I think that the internet is just gonna be on an absolutely dumpster fire if Alcaraz beats Djokovic in this Australian Open
Yeah.
final. I don't think
Spreadsheets
there's
will be out. The dumpster fire will be floating down the river. as a lot of people have seen that meme. It's going to be a show, and I would love to see it personally. I have picked Charlie to defeat him, but head over heart, like my head is saying Novak, my heart and the rest of my body is willing Charlie on to defeat Novak once again in a major. So it can happen. Stranger things have happened.
My head says Novak, my heart says Andy Murray. That's probably not gonna happen. But I can't see past Novak for the overall win, to be honest. Even up against Charlie, I just can't see. It's the Australian Open, it's Novak Djokovic. It's like the two just go together.
And Claire, what you were saying about the early rounds with Djokovic being like really, really boring. I found this tweet that I want to read that's by Earl in Accounting at Hump A underscore 55. And he says, at what point will folks stop looking at Novak's draw every single slam and saying some version of OMG, it's so easy or cakewalk? I truly want to know what would be a difficult draw when it comes to him. I don't think one really exists. And I think that's exactly right. Like, in terms of Alcaraz and Sinner, like, yeah, they're the guys, but the first five matches, like, there's just no 0% chance unless something is off with Novak that, like, I totally agree that he's basically like matchup proof at this point. So I do hope that Carlos gets to that final. And I do give Carlos like a decent chance to beat him, like maybe a 40-60, but yeah, I still have Djokovic as the favorite.
I'll take 40-60.
I'll take
Nadal
the loads. I give you my money.
Nadal
Medvedev on like a what, like a 2 to 98 chance. So
God, Medvedev.
okay, so we've covered Andy in depth, and I'm not quite sure what outcome we've come to for that, and we think Novak's going to win. Any other popcorn matches in the mains for the first round that's jumping out at you guys, because I've got a few. I'm particularly looking forward to seeing Adrian Mannarino and Stan Wawrinka play.
Ooh, okay.
And I think,
I'm warming up to Manorino,
I'm not.
and his physicality in some matches last year were great. So why
Darn,
not? That's gonna be fun to watch.
he's there, like what? 35, I want to
Yeah, he's
say.
gotten up in the rankings. I apologize, but I haven't been following
Opposite.
his number.
I'm talking about his age.
Oh, it's. I was about to say, wait, no, Manorino has gotten to a decent
He's
ranking as
like
well, though. I'm sorry?
he's like 35.
Yeah, okay.
And he had a really good season last year. Didn't he win his first title last year?
I believe so.
Or quite
Excuse me. Yeah, I
recently.
don't know.
But yeah, I'm not a fan of him. There's something I don't, well, okay, I'll tell you what it is that I don't like. I'm like, oh, there's somebody at Queen's when he beat Liam Brody. I was just like, you're a dick. Really, really don't like you. He was really mean to a ball girl. And I'm just not a fan of him. Not a fan. So I think Stan will beat him, but I also
Okay.
want Stan to beat him
Okay. Yeah.
for that reason.
Yeah. A quick Google search found out that he beat Sebi Korda in Astana last year. So
I think
there's that.
another first round I like is Tsitsipas and Berrettini. I think look, it's kind of established that I don't think Tsitsipas is as good as most people seem to think. His fans hate me, but I don't think
No, no way. The pals don't hate anyone. They
Right,
love. They're inclusive. They love everyone on.
and super tolerant of criticism of their favorite player as well. I think that's their best characteristic. But anyway, I don't think Tsitsipas is the guy. I think his it, I don't think he's improved. I read an interview with him that Donald McRae did of him in The Guardian, and he was basically like, yeah, I have time. I'm a late bloomer. I'm happy how I am. And I'm like those 11 losses to Djokovic in a row, like I'm totally gonna learn from those. And it just did not ring like anything was gonna change. So if Berrettini plays at a decent level, which is not a given, since like Tsitsipas could totally beat a, rusty Berrettini. Also, if Berrettini is at a decent level, he beats Steph. Tsitsipas loses the 1,200 points from making the final last year, and he plummets in the rankings. I think that is kind of, I don't want to use the word overdue, but I don't think he's playing like a seventh in the world. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, fair. I just think that their head-to-head is going to show otherwise. I don't know if you're biased on this issue, but it's 3-0. Stefanos has played him at the Australian Open before, so
So now head-to-head matters, Peter, because I thought it was just vibes before with the 4-0
The
feedback.
vibes were not correct for Ostapenko, if that's what you're going with, if that's what you're mentioning and referring to.
That's an
So,
entirely fair argument, though, that I've
yeah,
just
and the thing is, for men, it's different. I'm not being sexist or anything, but I think that the vibes are just different for Matteo, and so. It's just a different thing for Stefanos.
Yeah. I honestly sat and hovered over that one for quite a long time when I was doing my bracket earlier on
Exactly.
because I was like, Owen's exactly right. Like if Berrettini's rusty and Steph's on his game, then yeah, Steph's gonna win. But if Steph's just a little bit iffy and Berrettini actually brings himself up to form, then Berrettini can beat him. You
Yeah,
know,
he
like,
has a chance.
yeah, like, Berrettini's blistering forehand can go through Steph easily. But I've just had a little look back at form over the past like 3 4 months, and obviously, yeah, okay, we've been in off season as well. But Berrettini was losing round one, round two, in all the tournaments he's played maybe over the last 4 or 5 months. And so that's kind of what made my decision that I think Steph will win it.
Yep.
But I think it could be close. Even if it's like straight sets, I think it will be potentially could be a closer match than like the scoreline might suggest. But
Yeah.
I think Steph will tap into it. But yeah, that will be a it will be a good match to see.
Yeah. I particularly think that Tsitsipas isn't, if anything, it almost feels like his level has dropped even. It's not that he's regressed a bit, like in terms of how he plays. Not necessarily sure if it's why the reason why is just really because every player has been more able to, explore his weaknesses, his very glaring backhand weakness. But I don't know, it just feels like I think that going back to maybe one of the quotes, like from I think Djokovic said, like if you're not improving, you're getting worse in a sense, like on tour, because everybody is improving, everybody is learning. If Tsitsipas refuses to do anything about, correcting a weakness or just like really hiding it as well as he possibly can, and I think one of the best players in terms of hiding a weakness on tour is Berrettini, because his backhand, even though it's double-handed, is atrocious. Like in terms of like, it's not a top 10 level backhand. It's like top 50 at most. Like the more generous that you can give it to him is a case in point. Like didn't he miss like the super awful backhand that you were talking about earlier, which was I supposed to be a passing shot that he just like needed to just like push over the cross court, and he just
Yep.
like pushes it into the net. It's
Like
just
the middle of the net as well. It's
exactly, it's like holy crap, like how could you miss that? It's like it's not even kids' drills at that point, but like yeah. But he's really good at hiding it. He has a really good slice, which Tsitsipas is iffy on. His serve plus one is incredible. Even his drop shot is like pretty solid. So like he has tools to like go finding his way around that backhand and just like hiding it. Whereas I feel like Tsitsipas has gotten a little bit too maybe overconfident even on his own drive backhand. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like it could be a chance of Berrettini coming out, like hiding it better, sending it over like really low balls to Tsitsipas's backhand and seeing what happens and just getting a forehand and blasting it over. But it depends on whose forehand and serve is better on that day, I feel like.
What do we think about Alex de Minaur and Milos Raonic? I think because de Minaur is in great form, top 10 debut. That's not an easy first round, though.
Yes. I mean, Alex beat Novak at the United Cup. Alex played Andy Murray in a practice just a day or two ago. And I think that Alex is going to beat Milos. I think Alex is going to go far. The thing about Alex is that he's got a head-to-head against Andy, that's in Alex's favor, speaking of head to heads. So, do I love him? Not right now. Does Claire? Absolutely not, it seems. But I think Milos is not going to win that match. And I don't know what his form is like from the off season, of course. So, who knows?
I agree. Alex will win it. Pains me to say that. So as everyone knows, he's on my shit list for life now. Don't care how nice a guy he is, he's on my list. But it is a tough first match. I mean, I don't know how I'm trying to think when I last saw Milos play. Andre, being a resident Canadian, any thoughts?
I think Milos is a. It depends on like how his body holds up. Like that was one of the problems that he was having last year, but he did well at Wimbledon. I think Milos knows his game, extremely deep. Like I don't think anybody knows Milos's game better than Milos. So that's kind of in a sense a bit of an advantage because he knows how to hide all of his weaknesses. His serve is a ridiculous weapon. He's gonna have to hold for sure against de Minaur. He's lucky enough that de Minaur's serve is a bullet, so it's like it's not something that he has to worry about. Like if I get my service broken, I'm done. Like I feel like he will still have chances, but I feel like de Minaur is just too fast. So like Milos is gonna have to like really hit through him or just bamboozle him completely, just like completely like win in the cat and mouse games. Go to the net a lot, just make sure that his De Minaur is like uncomfortable. But yeah, it's the thing is De Minaur is he's not gonna miss, he's not gonna hit winners, but he's gonna be really hard to hit through. I don't know. I feel like Milos is past his the time in his career that he would be the biggest challenge for De Minaur. I think we're gonna get like a two sets that are challenging and then De Minaur is gonna run away with it, unfortunately.
And in my opinion, Alex's return game is better than his serve, even though he was serving very well at the United Cup. I just think that Milos is not going to do it in three or four sets. Sorry to say that.
Felix and Dominic team? What about
Oh.
that match?
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, I mean, Dominic is going to win it. Is that going to be hard overhead and just spewing lies? I don't think it's lies, but I think it's all vibes of Dominic, practicing with Andy and just it's gonna be fine. Dominic is gonna win it.
I think this match is a great opportunity for both of them. And I seeing Medvedev in that section reminds me, you know, the winner of that could play him in the third round. And in 2022, Felix Auger-Aliassime maybe put up his career best performance and took Medvedev absolutely to the brink in an amazing fourth round match. He was up two sets, he had match points, didn't quite win. And seeing them close to the draw reminds me that Felix, at some point anyway, was capable of performances like that. So maybe he still is. And, you know, Team has beaten Medvedev before, although Team is definitely not the same guy he was when he did that. So I don't know. I wonder, like, maybe Felix gets through that and then he sees Medvedev in the draw and he's like, I can beat this guy. And I don't know, maybe something happens there. I doubt it, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's almost like this draw is the draw of guys who at some point were a lot better than they are right now. Because like Medvedev was like a beast at that time, like when we were talking in the 2022, had won his first Grand Slam. Owen had him as a favorite for 2 years in a row, and then he lost 2 years in a row.
Thanks, Andre.
And then but he got really close. And then we have Team, who has been almost nowhere to be found anymore. It's just like he suddenly got lost in time, and this guy is just unfortunately just a shell of who he used to be. Felix went on a huge run like 2 years ago and won three titles in a row, and then kind of lost his way. And I feel like this is the messiest first round that we're going to see. I think it's going to be like, who wants to not lose the most? It's just, I feel that's what it's gonna look like. I feel like we're gonna have match points that were gonna be squandered. Like in the first set, we're gonna be like, oh, we had a match point, like in a tiebreaker, and then like all of a sudden we're just like a 5-1 in the fifth, and then if somebody comes back to 5-0, and then like we have a final set tiebreak, it's gonna be 9-1, and then like Dominic Ting shoots up, and it's gonna be 22-20 in the final set. This is the type of match that strikes me. It's like, what is going on? I don't even know who you guys are anymore at that point. It's like, I have no clue who is going to win. I have zero idea.
Again, it's hard overhead for me. And Felix won the Swiss Open last year, defeating Hurkacz. So the thing is, Felix can win it, and I just hope for the best for Dominic. So there's that. All vibes.
All vibes.
Positive vibes for Dominic.
I've got Dominic making it to the third round and losing to Medvedev. I think that's maybe a little bit more heart than anything, but why not, eh?
So
Sorry, on you go.
sorry, thanks. Something that just hit me looking at the bottom part of the draw is that Alcaraz could get Dan Evans in the second round, who gave him a really tough time at the US Open. And the seed in his section is Tommy Paul, who he'd get in the fourth round, who always gives him a tough time when they play and has even beaten him before. And so I don't see either of those guys beating him in best of five, but I could see them pushing him. And so I feel like either that could have the effect of Alcaraz gets like rounded into form really early and becomes a monster, or they kind of slowly wear him down and then maybe he gets taken out in the semis or the final with like a flat performance because he's gotten tired. What do you all think of that?
I hope he
I
gets
don't
tired.
like the way you said
Tell me,
that,
Paul.
but I think the thing is, Charlie will be fine. Alcaraz will be fine enough to beat Grigor in the semis. That's who I have for that other quarter, and that's more vibes and positive thoughts for Grigor. I mean, he just won a title in Brisbane, so why not? Why not have that matchup? Let's talk about that. Let's have this conversation.
I've got, I can't remember what it is. I've got Tommy Paul losing to Jack Draper in the round.
Yeah, I can see that. Jack beat
So
him in Adelaide just
I don't
a
think
few
Tommy
days
is going
ago.
to cause Alcaraz any problems.
I think Alcaraz would be perfectly happy if Draper beat Tommy Paul.
I don't think Alcaraz is gonna get tired. I feel like if anything, what Cincinnati last year has taught me is that doesn't matter how many hours Alcaraz can play, he will show up to that final and play like his mind out. Like, because I couldn't believe it. Like, honestly, like that final in Cincinnati was like, how did that happen? It's like Djokovic has basically cruised through all of his matches. Alcaraz struggled through all of his matches, and it was like a nearly 4 hour final in which Alcaraz very, very, very nearly won. I couldn't even believe, like, what's the score? How did that ever happen? So I feel
It
like,
was Novak's creatine.
yeah. So to be, I have, yeah, I don't think Alcaraz is gonna get tired, to be honest. So
Oh, and do you have more thoughts about that? I see you laughing.
No, I just I'm trying to think. Look, Peter, let me give you a hypothetical. You have Novak as the favorite, but
Yes.
who wins in a final between Carlos Alcaraz and a Novak Djokovic who is only allowed to drink water over the course of the match?
I mean, it's going to be Charlie, like any day, every day. So,
Oh no.
yeah.
Novak's water is magic. Because doesn't he just like visualize that it's superpowers and he drinks it and it makes him amazing? So then like truly like it's magic water. So I mean I think Novak could still do it on water alone.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he could still do it, but is he going to? No.
The thing is like I genuinely feel like a lot of the stuff that Djokovic is obviously he's like superhuman in terms of like his body and the way that he can still move it and the flexibility at his age. I think so much of what Djokovic does and has achieved over the years is mental as well. Like he is so mentally strong and he can literally will things into existence. So like I mean I'm genuinely not taking the piss here when I say that like if someone said to him, all you can have throughout this match is water, he would like, that's okay, I'll just visualize that it's an energy drink. And it would go through. Like I could so see that happening because he's that mentally strong.
I
But
mean, mentally strong or mentally
don't
out
say
there
it.
is another way to say it. I mean, it's very ethereal the way his mind works.
Yeah, I mean to be clear, I don't believe he's taking performance enhancers at all.
Oh
And I
no,
think
I'm not saying that. He
yeah, I
asked
know.
for creatine in Cincy. Like,
Right.
we all heard it, but
Don't know what that is.
yeah,
Isn't
I
that
mean,
protein?
yeah.
My thing with him is like I think he just has otherworldly levels of pain tolerance. So like when I
Yep.
see him like collapsing and moaning, like I don't think that's fake. I think it's just he can deal with it, and people don't understand that because we're normal and we can't deal with those things. And I'm not inside his head, so I can't explain it. But I think he can just, I don't know, take things and feel them and then move past them in a way that no one else can.
Yep.
Yeah, it's almost like he can compartmentalize things. Like, well, I'm just going to put that in a box for now, and I will deal with it after I've won this match.
Yep. Wrist
And once the
injury
match
or
is over,
not.
yeah, then he can
Yeah.
be like, right, okay, fuck, it's sore now. Someone look at it. But during the match, he's got like this mental ability to just block certain things out and focus on the task at hand, which not. I mean, I'm sure there are other players that have got like they've got a certain level of that, but not to the extent that he can do it. And that's why, I mean, that is really why I think he's pretty much unbeatable for the entire thing.
Yeah. At least here. Is he beatable at Wimbledon? Yes, of
Oh,
course. Is he
I mean,
beatable at the US Open? Yes. Will Rafa come back and win the French Open? Yes. So there's that.
I think Carlos is going to win the French Open.
I mean, I'm fine with that. Let's have that conversation. But I mean,
That conversation in May. Let's, in a bit early. Yeah, when that
yeah, exactly.
happens.
Okay. So any other first rounds that we're seeing and we want to look at? I mean, honestly, it's more the quarters and whatnot that I'm looking at.
So let's do what we did then for the women's side. Who are your four semi-finalists?
I have Novak, Yannick, Grigor, and Charlie.
The Abbott, Novak, Yannick, Daniil, and Charlie.
Fair. I
Yes, I would
mean,
go with the top four as well.
Medvedev has gotten to the Australian Open final before, so why not?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was the top four.
I was thinking with both of my draws, I was like, am I just penciling in all of the top seeds? And I'm like, no, that's who's going to get to the later stages. Let's not kid ourselves. So there's that.
You.
I don't know. I'll make a pick that I think will probably make a lot of people mad. I feel like Sinner is gonna lose again before he gets to the semis. Like, I think I just need to see him solve the best of five thing before I can start making huge predictions for him in the majors. So I think Novak, Carlos, and Daniil are gonna get there. I think Sinner's gonna lose to someone. I'm not sure who.
To Alex in the quarterfinals, that could happen.
What about Fritz Hatchinov?
Or TFO.
It's tough because, like, individually, I think Sinner would beat all those people head to head. Like, Sinner absolutely demolished Demonor at Davis Cup, right? So I can't. It's hard for me to see, like, Alex beating him, but I just
Does
don't
Davis
have.
Cup count anymore?
Good point.
I'm kidding. Head to
but.
heads matter sometimes. Do they matter to me sometimes? Yes. Do they matter in the grand scheme of things? Yeah. Debatable.
Fair. Yeah, I just don't have enough faith in Sinner in best of five yet. I would love
Fair.
for him to make a great run here, and then I will. But as of now, I just don't have it. So I'll say he loses before the semis.
I'll make a change as well. I'm gonna put Holger instead of Medvedev in the semifinal.
Ooh. I like that.
So, who is Holger beating?
Dimitrov. Isn't Dimitrov? Let me help, check again. I think they're in the same section. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, I have Hubie beating Holger, so very well could happen.
Yeah, I would say Rune beats Dimitrov in the quarterfinal.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
You heard it here first, folks. That's your that's your semi-finalist. And who are we, Peter? You think that Carlos is going to win?
Yes, Charlie is going to win. Carlos is going to win.
Okay, I think Novak's going to win. Owen.
It's tough because it's like, do I pick with my head or do I try to be interesting? And
Be interesting. Be out of the box. Be rational. Be a normal human being and just say, Charlie's going to win. He's
I
won the
do.
US Open. He's won Wimbledon. He
That
can
sounds
win the
like
Australian.
establishment propaganda, Peter.
No, I don't think that it's establishment. I think it's just a solid, good pick. He
Peter,
wants to win the
are you
career.
an
I'm sorry?
undercover member of the media?
No.
I do think it'll be Novak and Carlos, and I don't know if I just wish Alcaraz had finished the year a little bit stronger, and
Yeah, fair.
then I would feel better picking him. But you know what? I'll say Novak's got a wrist injury. That seems harder to get around than other injuries. Like, you can't really change your style to protect your wrist because you're hitting a tennis ball constantly and you need your wrist to do
That
that.
could make a
So
big game.
Yannick is going to beat him.
No, I because I don't think Yannick's gonna get that far.
Yeah,
I'll say Djokovic is a little, maybe he's worn down the wrist a little bit. Those early challenges play Alcaraz into his best form, and Alcaraz beats him in five again.
okay.
Okay, Andre.
I was hoping that Owen was going to say Novak so I could say Alcaraz and we'd be split 50-50, but now you put me in the spot. Like, I don't want to. I don't know. I feel like in a way, I do want to see Alcaraz winning. Not so much for anything, obviously, like against Djokovic, but like I just
Yeah, no,
it's
nothing
just
against him.
interesting. Like, I mean, I think it would just be interesting for the grand scheme of things. Like, if
Yeah.
Alcaraz beats him in a Grand Slam final, and they just keep trading their matches. I think they're now like 3-2 for Djokovic, so it'd be 3-all, and like it would just make the rivalry interesting.
Yep.
But I'll pick Novak just so that we can make that split. And so yeah,
Okay.
Djokovic beats Alcaraz in five as well.
So we're
Feels
50-50.
another heartbreaker.
So for the women's side, our choices were Rybakina, Sabalenka, and Goff, if I remember correctly. Someone pick Goff?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I picked Coco, yeah.
And for the men, it's Alcaraz and Djokovic. So let's see. We should get at least one right out of all that.
Oh
Right.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie's
Okay.
winning it. I'll get it right.
Oh, listeners, if you could see Peter's face right now.
Peter
On
did.
that note, we are going to wrap things up. Thank you very much for listening. If you've managed to get this far, we appreciate your support as always. Massive, massive thank you to Owen and Andre for joining us down at Murray Musings HQ today. It's been great to have you both back and see you again. And Peter, thanks for your usual delightful insights and continued support of Novak Djokovic. I'm sure everyone appreciates it. Enjoy the Australian Open, everyone. Hopefully we will be, I don't want to say that we'll be back mid-tournament, because let's face it, we're not that organized anymore, but we will be back at the end for an Australian Open wrap-up, so hopefully you'll be able to join us then. Enjoy the tournament, and let's see who's right in 2 weeks' time. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Take care.